The first scripture I'd like to share with you today comes to us from Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Let us hear God's word together. Hence also he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Our second text is from John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verses 1 through 26. Let us again hear the word of the Lord. These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee, even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I glorified thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory with which I had with thee before the world was. I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have come to know that everything thou hast given me is from thee. For the words which thou gavest me, I have given to them, and they received them, and truly understood that I came forth from thee, and they believed that thou didst send me. I ask on their behalf, I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no more in the world. And yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name, which thou hast given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth, thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me, and didst love them, even as thou didst love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known me, yet I have known thee, and these have known that thou didst send me. And I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On December the 7th, 2014, we held our first meeting of Charleston Presbyterian. But it wasn't a regular worship service. It was a prayer service focused upon God's will for us as a congregation. We listened, and we talked, and we prayed to God about the establishment of the new Presbyterian Church in this Charleston area. We began everything with prayer, because prayers that are guided by the Holy Spirit will eventually reveal the mind and will of God. And we have continued to hold up the importance of praying for others in our prayer chain, in our prayer lists, in our worship service, in our prayer cards and phone calls and visits, prayers on the phone and prayers in person. And yet one of the prayers that we rarely make today, I think, is to ask Jesus to pray for us. After all, who is the best person to pray for us? Well, Jesus. The risen Christ intercedes to the Father, as Romans 8:27 reveals, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. During a revival service one night in a Baptist church of which I had been invited to participate, I prayed for Jesus to intercede for everyone there. And after praying that prayer and some of Jesus' requests in John 17, a church member came up to me and said, "I've never even thought about asking Jesus to pray for me." Now, friends, why is that? Has Satan so influenced our thoughts and our feelings as to doubt whether Jesus commanded us to pray, or the very purpose for which Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us? We read in Hebrews 7:25, "And he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he ever lives to do what? Make intercession for the saints." So please allow me to share with you something so wonderful about prayer that it may change profoundly the way all of us pray, and powerfully and confidently pray that our requests are heard and answered according to God's plan. Do you know what Jesus prays about today when he prays for you? While he is seated at the right hand of the Father, what does he intercede on our behalf about? Wouldn't you like to know? If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then it hasn't changed much, I would suggest, since Jesus first revealed his prayers for his disciples. So today's message, what Jesus prays for you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, prepare our hearts now to hear the prayers that you make, even in heaven, to the Father on our behalf. For we pray in your holy name. Amen. For decades in the ministry, I have heard countless concerns and questions about Christian prayer. There have been many doubts expressed that God is even listening to our prayers. Another question I tend to hear over and over again is, how in the world would I know whether I'm praying in the will of God or not? Well, they're good questions, but it kind of belies the fact that there are plenty of scriptures that do reveal God's will about a great number of things. And we have enough scriptures in the Bible to know what God's will is, even for our own lives. But we also have something else. We have the actual prayers of Jesus that reveal precisely what he is praying for his followers. And hence, if you are a follower of Jesus, then you should know what he is praying for you. And yet we have something even more than what God would pray for. We have the living God interceding on our behalf at this very moment, whether we are praying or not. And what does that mean? It means that Jesus has all authority from the Father, and maybe we haven't considered it, but that Jesus' ascension has a lot to do with prayers for us. And it does. You see, Jesus is alive, resurrected, and seated at the right hand of God the Father, the position of power and authority. And he is there making prayers to the Father on your behalf and mine. That is exactly what Jesus meant when he said, "I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me." John 17:9. We cannot stand on our own before the Father without Jesus' atonement and his pleading our case. Sinners need a priest, but our priest is now the risen Lord. In Hebrews 7, we read about how secure our salvation is, partially not only his promises and the promises of scriptures, but his prayers, his constant prayers for us. Therefore, it says, he is able to save for a little while. No, forever, save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he what? Always lives to make intercession for them. To lose your salvation, Jesus would have to die or stop praying for you to the Father. And since neither one of those are going to happen, friends, your salvation is secure. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if we pray in the name of Jesus merely as some kind of formula or a name tagged on at the end of our request, like this is going to make Jesus do what we want him to do, or God the Father to answer our prayers, then we've missed the point entirely. The significance of praying in the name of Jesus is that we're praying as he would pray. That's why you say in the name of Jesus. For he prays to the Father for us, and something miraculous will happen when you ask Jesus to intercede on your behalf and pray the prayers that Jesus would pray. When you add his name to those prayers, he answers them. He'll always make the right prayer for you to the Father. Therefore, have you ever asked Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, to pray for you, to intercede on your behalf to the Father? Have you ever asked him to pray what he really wants for you and for your family and other friends? Now, someone asks, well, maybe I should ask Jesus to pray for me, but only if I know what he's going to say. Well, we do know what he's going to say. His requests are found in John's Gospel, chapter 17. It's called the High Priestly Prayer. And his prayer here in chapter 17 is the longest prayer recorded in the New Testament. And of course, this prayer is for you and me, not just for his original disciples. And through these words, we see into the heart, the very heart and will of God. And even though Jesus was about to be arrested and tried and convicted and crucified, he prayed for all his followers who would ever be. You can hear it in his prayer. And even while being nailed to a cross, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. This is one of the ways that we can know, therefore, if we are like Jesus and spiritually maturing in our prayer life when our prayers are for others, not just only ourselves. So, in that upper room, in the strongest words possible, Jesus asked the Father for no less than 7 requests on our behalf. Read them. These 7 requests are God's will for us, and these are what Jesus prays for about us. Now, let's listen in on Jesus' prayer, because I believe if we understand these prayers, you'll see how beautiful they are, and the ones that he's making on our behalf right now, even at this hour, for our own good. First of all, he prayed and is still praying, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. It was necessary that Jesus be glorified by his death and resurrection, because without the Father's divine response and power, the memory of Jesus as a man would have been swept away by the pages of history. And if God hadn't answered this prayer request, you and I would never have even heard of Jesus of Nazareth. We would not be here this morning, furthermore. But Christianity has spread all over the world. Therefore, the Father did answer his Son's first request. The Father has glorified the name of Jesus for over 2,000 years. And therefore, one of the prayers that Jesus is making on your behalf and mine right now is that we would glorify him. He's going to answer that prayer. Do our prayer requests glorify Jesus Christ? Do we make them even with this purpose or outcome in mind? But if our prayer requests don't glorify Christ or his kingdom, then God's not going to answer them the way we think he will. Now, if they are answered, maybe that wasn't by God, but someone else, like even Satan, who answers our prayer requests and desires, only to leave us in the wrong place or lead us astray. But those requests that don't glorify Jesus Christ in some way or shape or form won't be answered by the Lord God. Number two, Jesus' second request is this: Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. Jesus here is claiming divinity, oneness with the Father. Friends, the name of the Lord identifies us as believers of the one true God. And it is only in the name of the Lord Jesus that we can become one. Nothing else is going to bring people together other than Jesus. Now, unfortunately, there is a debate today about whether salvation is found exclusively in the name of Jesus. Some people believe that salvation is found only in Jesus. And some say that salvation is also found under the names of other leaders, gods, or faiths. In other words, they believe that Jesus Christ is not the only way, truth, and life. He's only one of the ways to God. And yet, in Jesus' high priestly prayer, he asked the Father to keep all his followers in the name that had been given to him. And that name was, and still is, Jesus. Jesus, however it may be translated, is through the person of Jesus that we receive eternal salvation to God. And so he continued, "While I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name, which thou hast given me." Thy name, in other words, my name is your name. "And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." To reject the person of Jesus Christ is to reject the one true God and his salvation, and even the name of God on earth, Jesus. Now, no one knows God's judgment or who is not saved. We may take guesses, but we don't know for certain. But the scriptures teach us that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Acts declares, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." And why would anyone want to confess Jesus Christ is Lord then, if he's not Lord of all? If he's not Lord of all, then we would be just confessing some kind of local God or a national God or a God over our family or just a God over us as persons, as individuals. But Jesus Christ is Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. Have we asked him to keep us in his name that is above every name? That is also Jesus' prayer for you and me today. Thirdly, Jesus asks that we might have his joy made full in us. This is a great prayer. The Lord wants us to live abundant lives, and he wants us to have profound joyfulness, not merely the material world or some fleeting happiness. Every one of us needs Jesus' eternal and divine profound joy, not just temporary happiness over some material possession. Robert Louis Stevenson once entered in his diary as if he were reading an extraordinary phenomenon. "I've been to church today, and I'm not depressed." Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, "I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers." So if you think about it, Jesus' prayer about his joy in us is an amazing and wonderful prayer. And it's even being answered today. You can find joyful Christians everywhere who are really living the abundant life, especially here, I think, at our church. These Christians have learned not to allow the joy stompers, if you will, of this world, the joy stompers to grind us under their heels. Brothers and sisters, please don't let joy stompers take away your abundant living and joy of Jesus Christ. Let us never also become a joy stomper in someone else's life. Do you ever pray for Jesus' joy? Not just happiness, but Jesus' joy. Isn't everyone looking for happiness in their lives? Well, this is even deeper than happiness. If we have His joy in our lives, what a tremendous difference it will make in both our minor and major things that happen to us or don't happen for us. Indeed, joy must be God's will for us, and it comes from God, not from all of life's unpredictable circumstances. And friends, if we are looking for authentic joy outside of Christ, well, just forget it. You won't find it there, or if you do, not for long. And so, fourthly, Jesus made a request of His Father that we not be taken out of this world, and that He would keep us from the evil one and his schemes. Jesus wished His followers not to be whisked away somewhere from the earth, but be guarded from the plans of Satan. Jesus knew that His followers would face tremendous temptations and persecutions. They would be tried and tempted by sin and evil. And if possible, Satan will deceive us into giving up our faith. He will attempt to turn us away from God. And so it is no joke to find yourself wrestling with the powers and principalities of evil. Once Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have done what? I have prayed for you." Jesus will pray for our protection from the evil one. It's the same prayer He made here in John 17. Have you asked Him, therefore, friends, to pray for your protection from the schemes of the evil of this world? He's not going to just take you out of this world. He needs you to testify to the truth. But have you asked for His protection? That's a prayer that Jesus made, and He'll answer it. Number five, Jesus' fifth request is that God would sanctify us in the truth. And He also defined that truth. "Thy word is truth," He said. What does it mean to be sanctified? In the word, therefore. Well, sanctify means to be consecrated for holy use, to be set apart from the world. This is a prayer for us to live a holy life in the world through the holy word of God. In fact, you can't live a holy life while also being in disobedience to His word. You can't really grow spiritually without adherence to God's word of truth. And you're going against the very prayer that Jesus is making for you even right now when we're in disobedience. Now, Jesus sent His followers out into the world. They needed to know God's word very well, or they were going to be carried away by every wind of doctrine and false teaching. And one of the reasons mainline denominations are declining is that the full teaching and preaching of the word is not being heard from them. Christians are to be set apart for divine use by their knowledge of, belief, and adherence to the truth and the Word of God. Have you asked Jesus Christ that you be set apart by His Word of truth? Or are you just only so happy to accept any explanation for the Bible? The sixth item that Jesus prayed for is Christian unity. Jesus prayed that all believers everywhere might be one, even as the Father is one with the Son. And you might think that that prayer, therefore, has not been answered. But the first miracle of unity in the church that marked the earliest disciples has continued. It's continued not on a denominational level so much, but it has continued on a spiritual level. We believe that there are Christians everywhere who were part of the church universal. That's what the Apostles' Creed means when it says Catholic, small c, church. It means, Catholic just means universal. There are Christians everywhere, in every church. One of the ways the world knows that Jesus is from the Father is that His church on earth is unified. Unified in purpose, unified in fellowship, and unified in prayer. Now, on the surface, it does appear that the church is divided because all of the different governments and denominations. But in fact, everyone who is truly part of Christ's universal church is one, is still one in the Holy Spirit. Christians are all one in the Lord. And there is no witness any stronger than Christian unity and Christian love. And there is no worse witness than strife and anger and hatred between people who claim to follow Jesus. Jesus therefore prayed that his followers be perfected in unity. Not just you can look at them and say, well, they look like they're one. No, be perfected. In other words, they're perfected by our unity in Christ. Listen to Jesus' plea. That they may be one, just as we are one, I and them and thou and me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know. How does the world know? Because Christians are perfected in unity. That thou didst send me and didst love them, even as thou didst love me. Unity is found only when people are following under Christ's lordship, not just members necessarily of the same church name or same denomination, maybe even Christians sitting on the same pew. In fact, there is more unity between churches and groups and denominations who are under the lordship of Jesus Christ than there is unity between two people sitting in the same pew where one is under the lordship of Christ and one is not. Number 7, lastly, Jesus prays for our salvation. He desires for us to be where he is because he loves us so much, not because he has to. This is grace and mercy. But he loves us. He's asked the Father to take us all to heaven to be with him. Jesus wants us to experience the final culmination of creation and God's salvation for all eternity. He wants us to live in the presence of his glory, that where I am, he said, there they may be also. And so to summarize, these are Jesus' prayer requests for you and me today. Number 1, that anything we do glorify Christ and the Father. Number 2, that we be kept in his name and no other name, the name of Jesus. Number 3, that we know the fullness of his joy, not just the happiness of this world. Briefly. Number 4, that we stay in the world, but be protected from the power and temptations of evil. And 5, that we be sanctified by his word of truth. And 6, that we all be one in unity and in love. And 7, that we behold his glory and dwell with him for all eternity. So have we been praying for these tremendous blessings in our lives and in the lives of others? Or have we been asking, actually, for much lesser things? After all, let's say, for instance, you're praying to get a particular promotion. And you find out after that promotion that it wasn't such a great thing to get anyway. Wouldn't you rather be filled with Christ's joy, whether you get the promotion or not? Because if you get the promotion, fine, great. But if it doesn't bring you joy, then perhaps he's not going to answer that prayer. Wouldn't you rather pray for joy? And if that promotion is going to bring you joy to receive it, I would. You see, this is how you can know if you're praying in the will of God. Not all things that we want are going to bring us joy. If you pray the request that Jesus prayed, you're going to be praying in the will of God. And so when we ask Jesus to pray for us, the Father honors the request made by him. Jesus is now seated at the Father's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. Jesus is praying for you and me right now. Let us welcome his prayers for us. Let us ask Jesus to pray for us. The Father will always hear and answer the prayers of his only begotten Son, our Lord. These are the prayers that Jesus is praying for you and me before the Father. To God be all the praise and glory. Amen.